I live now. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. I live now. Yes. Would that we all could say that we live now and live in our dynamic self, live in our romantic self, live in our fulfilled self. Yeah, but we don't. We always say, I remember. We always say, I wish. We always say, I want. We always say, wouldn't it be nice? And we always say all of those things that are relative terms that take us away from now. Yeah. Now. I like me. Now, that's the fullest extent of the form. If I say, I would like to like me, I would like to be likable, I would like to have the world like me, that'll never happen. Because right now, if it's not happening, it never will happen. So when I start recognizing that I am likable, I am wonderful, I am fantastic, I am glorious, I am super, super duper, super califragilistic expialidocious, if I am that, then I am it. Now, Ellen caught up with me on the path this morning when she was talking to me about different things, where I caught up with her, she caught up with me. Ellen and I spoke. Ellen and I said to Ellen, see how you say it in the now, you know. I said, Ellen, write. And Ellen says, oh, yes, that's what I want to do is write. She said, but how can I write about my experiences with you in the past and have them be in the now? I said, don't put a time on them. Say, this is what I am doing right now. Mentally, I am reliving the experience. Mentally, I'm going through the experience again. And when I'm mentally going through it, how do you describe what you're mentally going through right now? That's what you want to learn to do. That's what a good writer does. The good writer makes you think that the experience is happening right now in your mind, you know? Mm-hmm. When you read a good writer, you read the writing of a fellow or a woman who makes you feel that the people are living right there in your consciousness. And even when they give you flashbacks, you know what a flashback is? And even when they give you a flashback about something that happened before, that's happening right now in your mind. See, everything is happening right now in your mind. And I would say perhaps that's the only reason people read books is to enjoy that now experience, because they feel they are right there with the author, doing whatever the author is doing, in whatever happy, miserable, or sad way the author is doing whatever he's doing. Now, how is what choice of books do I use? Do you use? Do we use books that have sadness in them and that have unfulfilled activities in them? Or do we use delight in books that are happening right now? You watch a movie on TV or on video or whatever, and you're watching Shirley Temple. Now, Shirley Temple is a joke, is a big, big joke. She is an old woman now. And you're watching her when she was a young sprite. She was 8 or 9 years old. She was just a young kid. You're watching her, and you are delighting in what she is doing now, 40 years ago, you know, maybe 50 years ago. Yeah, easily 60 years ago. You know, the time goes by quite quickly. And think about it. She is a woman in her 80s now, maybe 90s. And if she was 8 or 9 years old, what does that make it? 80 years ago. 70, 80 years ago, that's a long time from one point of view. And yet, when you watch that movie, you are so engrossed in the now in the movie, you are so engrossed in the happenings that she's doing, you just know she's right there in front of you. You just know she's right there on the screen, and you just know she's doing her little ditty. And you know she's going to sing the same song over and over again, because learning new songs is a challenge too. And here she is, 8 years old, and being the queen of the show, and running the whole show, and having to be in virtually every scene, and learning new songs too. She's an amazing little creature, you know. And now, You see, and you are doing the same thing. You are learning the songs with her. Animal crackers in my soup, you know. And you're just like, you're right there with her as well as you were with Faye Donahue. Remember, was that her name? The woman in 12 Children. The Doyer, the dozen children.
Oh, cheaper by the dozen.
Cheaper by the dozen, and Myrna Loy. Myrna Loy, yeah. And you're right there with Myrna Loy, and she acted so beautifully, she acted so wonderfully, so untouched. When her husband did all his silly things, she was untouched, because what he did was not really silly. What he did was something very significant right then and there for the children. It was something very meaningful for all of them. They loved him with a passion, you know? And they loved him, not because he was strict with them, which he wasn't. He was just an efficiency expert, and so he practiced it everywhere, which is what you do, you know? And he was so perfect, he was so beautiful, so wonderful, everyone has to love him, even if he's sort of nutsy, photographing the taking out of the tonsils, you know. I mean, now that's pretty wild, you know. But and it's not unusual. Many parents would like to photograph the baby being born, but you know, that is not necessarily a scene everybody wants to look at, you know. But it's one of those things, but it's the proud father, you know, so proud. So that's our baby. You know, we are the manufacturing plant for that. It's so wonderful. And it's in the now. It's in the now. Even as I describe it to you, your mind is seeing it in the now. And so when you can learn to write, like our outstanding writers of fiction or nonfiction, making you live it right now. The people who write the events of World War II, write the events of the Confederate War. They make the story come alive. The young man who put it on PBS television, he took still pictures, and he made the still pictures go in and come out. He made it almost appear, you thought those were real living people on those still pictures that were on daguerreotype and on sepia-tone. They were just from years and years and years and years and years ago, you know, hundreds of years ago, maybe 200, you know, not maybe 200, but hundreds of years ago. But it's a long time, you know. A lot happens in that period of time. But, yeah. It's in the 17th century, you know, 18th century. But you see, living in the now is so exciting. And when I live now and I think, ha, then I'm in trouble. But when I live now and I am so vivid and I am so interesting and I am so exciting. I told you the story yesterday about the men working in the park. And the men working in the park were thinking their job was blasé and not very important. And then Mr. Happiness went over to them and said, hey, how you guys doing? You know, and they came alive. And then when they said, take a flower, that little girl, but I can't cut off. Well, accidentally step on it, and you got to clip it off, you know. And then, but take it to her and make it alive. And was that alive?
Yes.
Could you see that happening?
Yes.
Could you see the little girl playing in the grass, touching the tips of the grass and touching the flower and reaching out because she can't see the flower? She feels it, you know. Could you see that happening? Is it again happening as I sort of just remind you of the details? Yes. You see? I live now. And that's not hard. We do it all the time. It's only when we stop to think, did I live now? And it's only our language. As we can use language that expresses nowness, that expresses the beingness of what we're doing now, then we can have all the excitement in the world. When you're ready for that, then the world is ready to hear your adventures. The world is ready to hear your magic. And this is another little thing I'm going to throw right in here for a moment. The world hates preachers. The world hates teachers. The world hates those who say do, but don't do themselves. So when you tell a story, Do not put a moral at the end of it. If the story doesn't carry a moral within it, don't put one there. If the story has a moral within it and it's understood, then wonderful, but don't add it on the end. And you tell this beautiful story. Now, these men in the park, you see, they realized that when they could start loving other people, then they could begin loving. And because they were able to love other people, they were able to go home and love their wives. You know, they were able to go home and love their families. And when they came to work the next day, because they were able to have a whole new attitude. Oh, my goodness sakes, that kills the story, you know. That kills the story. The minister, when he stands up and preaches, when he stands up and tells the stories of the Bible are designed to preach their own lesson. They're designed to tell their own story. Jesus didn't say the story of the parable of the sowers, you know, of the workmen who came to the village, of the woman at the well. Jesus didn't tell those stories and said, "Now, you behave." He just said to the woman, I have nothing against you either. I have nothing to forgive you for. Just go and sin no more." And if it was a statement, it was not a bad statement. "You bad lady, don't sin." It was, "Hey, if you want to do those things, people are not going to like you." And when they called the people in the village, "Come work for me." And the people came, and he paid them a day's wage, a penny. And then the people came at noon. "Hey, I need more helpers. I got to get this job done. I'll pay you a day's wage, you know, or I'll pay you." And so at the end, even people came at 4 o'clock and they're quitting at 6. They went to work. And so when the pay time came, they all got their same wage, a full day's wage. And some complained. But why should they complain? They got what they agreed to work for. And you see, when people tell me that Joanne Taylor is hiring people at minimum wage and that that is so terrible, hey, they don't have to work there. They believe they're worth minimum wage, so they go to work there. Now, when they become more worthwhile, when they feel that they're worth more, they have a bigger abundance attitude for themselves, they'll go work someplace else. But voila for Joanne Taylor, for doing this for people at the level that they are. Now, she has turnover, it's true, but naturally, people get a better impression of themselves and they go on. I, too, worked for newspapers, and I reached the top of their pay scale, and their weekly newspapers, they could only pay so much. And so I moved on up, and each time I moved on up, I moved from, imagine, $50 a week to $75 a week to coming to the West Coast and getting $125 a week, wow, you know, in California, and so on. And, you know, and today, you say, my God, that wouldn't even pay the groceries or pay utilities. But that this is today, and this is different standards. Now, I could have put it on today's standards and guessed at it, but this is what I got then, back in the 50s and 60s. You know. So that's the way it is. Now, think about that. And as I explained to you, I got that money. I got that money, you say, my goodness, you know, you're right there with me. But I didn't grit. I rented a house. I had a wife. I had a child. I had a dog. I had a car. I had furniture, not the best furniture in town, but the normal IKEA furniture, you know. And I had able to go out for lunch. We could go out to the theater now and then. And we had a television set. Oh, my. We had a Sears Avon television set, one of the earliest ones. And we really were doing all right. Now, we rented our house, but then we bought a house. We bought a house just up the street from where we rented, brand new subdivision, beautiful three-bedroom house, fantastic fireplace, yard, and everything. And we paid something like $75 a month. You know, I mean, but of course, that was based on income and so forth. So no, it must have been less than that because I had to have it on a certain amount of my income because we had to eat too, and we did. We did very well. And you see, and I had a motor scooter too, a Lambretta motor scooter. And my wife drove the car and I drove the motor scooter. But we just had a wonderful life. And you see, live in the now. Live in the now. I live now. Think now. Talk now. And I had. I have a wonderful motor scooter. I have a wonderful Studebaker car, you know, Land Cruiser, woo, with a big old sun visor out in front. And everything else, you see, all these beautiful things. I have, you know, because they're right there in my memory. They're right there when I'm looking at it. I'm living it now. I live now. Ha! You can when you live now. So put it in practice and have a wonderful day. And know that I love you in every possible way.
I love you.
I love you. I love you. I love you.